की जय गौरा प्रेमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री श्री गुरु एट There's also a German copy of one too. Somebody wants to follow along. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, Further Talks Between King Rahugana and Jad Bharat. This is text 8 this morning. Jalam
Jalam
Vachit
Vachit
Kantaka
Kantaka
Sharkarangiri
Sharkarangiri.
Yes, right. Nagarurukshur
Nagarurukshur
Vimana
Vimana
Ivaste
Ivaste
Pade Pade
Pade Pade
Abhyantara
Abhyantara
Vani Ardita
Vani Ardita
Kautumbika
Kautumbika
Krujyati
Krujyati
Vai
Vai
Janaya
Janaya
Chalam Kvachit Kantaka Sharatarangrir
Chalam Kvachit Kantaka
Na ivaste Pade pade vyantara vahni artita
Pade pade vyantara vahni artita
Kautumbika krujyati vai janaya
Kautumbika krujyati vai janaya
Kanchaka Sharatarangriya
Kanchaka Sharatarangriya
Nagadurukshur Vimana Ivaste
Nagadurukshur Vimana Ivaste
Pade Pade Pyantara Vani Narjita
Pade Pade Pyantara
Kudyanti Vajanaya
Kaurumbika Kudyanti Vajanaya
Chalan Kachikantaka Sharatarangriya
Chalan Kachikantaka Sharatarangriya
Nagarurukshur Vimana Ivaste
Nagarurukshur Vimana Ivaste
Pade Vyantara Vyahni Narjita
Pade Pade Vyantara Vyahni Narjita
Kautumbika Krujyanti Vajanaya
Kautumbika Krujyanti Vajanaya Chalan Kvachit Kantaka Sharatarangriya
Chalan Kvachit Kantaka Sharatarangriya
Kaurumbika krujyati vai janaya
Tum Vipartum
Jati Vajanaya
Chalan Pachit Kanta Ashar Kadangriya
Naivaste
Pare Pare Vyantara Vaninar Vida
Pare
Pare Vyantara Vaninar
Angry
comes later.
That's right.
Pierced by thorns and small stones.
Pierced by thorns and small stones.
Angry he.
Angry.
Whose feet.
Whose feet.
So we have somebody here who's walking barefoot through the forest and stones and thorns. Hurt his feet. Naga.
Naga.
The hills.
The hills.
Arukshuhu.
Arukshuhu.
One desiring to climb.
One desiring to climb.
Vimana.
Vimana.
Disappointed.
Disappointed.
Eva.
Eva.
Like.
Like.
Aste.
Aste.
Becomes.
Becomes.
Pade pade.
Pade pade.
Step by step.
Step by step.
Abhyantaraha.
Abhyantaraha.
Within the abdomen.
Within the abdomen.
Means down. Vanina.
Vanina.
By the strong fire of appetite.
By strong fire of appetite.
He's hungry. Vani means here fire of digestion. Arditaha,
Arditaha,
being fatigued and aggrieved.
Being fatigued and aggrieved.
Tired and upset.
Tired.
Kartumbikaha.
Kartumbikaha.
A person living with his family members.
A person living with his family members.
Krudyati.
Krudyati.
Becomes angry.
Becomes angry.
Vai.
Vai.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Janaya.
Janaya.
At the family members.
At the family members.
Translation. Remember, this is a allegory, right? There's a merchant going through a forest trying to make some money and suffers so many things in this jungle. So this is like the conditioned soul in material life. So so here it says, sometimes the merchant in the forest wants to climb the hills and mountains, but due to insufficient footwear, that is, no shoes, his feet are pricked by small stone fragments and by thorns on the mountain. Being pricked by them, he becomes very aggrieved. Sometimes a person who's very attached to his family becomes overwhelmed with hunger, and due to his miserable condition, he becomes furious, he's very angry, with his family members. Prabhupada's purport. The ambitious conditioned soul wants to be very happy in this material world with his family. But he's compared to a traveler in the forest who desires to climb a hill full of thorns and small stones. As stated in the previous verse, the happiness derived from society, friendship, and love is like a drop of water in the scorching heat of the desert. One may want to become very great and powerful in society, but this is like attempting to climb a hill full of thorns. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur compares one's family to high mountains. Becoming happy in their association is like a hungry man's endeavoring to climb a mountain full of thorns. Almost 99.9% of the population is unhappy in family life, despite all the attempts being made to satisfy the family members. In the Western countries, due to the dissatisfaction of the family members, there is actually no family life. There are many cases of divorce, and out of dissatisfaction, the children leave the protection of their parents. Especially in this age of Kali, family life is being reduced. Everyone is becoming self-centered, because that is the law of nature. Even if one has sufficient money to maintain a family, the situation is such that no one is happy in family life. Consequently, according to the Varnashrama institution, one has to retire from family life in middle age. Panchortam vanam vajet. One should voluntarily retire from family life at the age of 50 and go to Vrindavan or a forest. This is recommended by Srila Prahlad Maharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Tatsadu manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvitna diyam asatkrahat hitvatma patam grihtam andra kupam vanam kato yad dhanim asayita. There's no benefit in transferring from one forest to another. One must go to the Vrindavan forest and take shelter of Govinda. That will make one happy. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is therefore constructing a Krishna Balaram temple to invite its members as well as outsiders to come and live peacefully in a spiritual atmosphere. That will help one become elevated to the transcendental world and return home back to Godhead. Another sentence in this verse is very significant. Kartumbhita kujyate vajanaya. Householder becomes angry at all his family members. When one's mind is disturbed, in so many ways. He satisfies himself by becoming angry with his poor wife and children. The wife and children are naturally dependent on the father, but the father, being unable to maintain the family properly, becomes mentally distressed and therefore chastises the family members unnecessarily. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is in Canto 12, 228. Achinna dara dronena yashanti giri kananam. Being disgusted with family life, one separates from the family by divorce or some other means. If one has to separate, why not separate willingly? Systematic separation is better than forced separation. Forced separation cannot make anyone happy, but by mutual consent or by Vedic arrangement, one must separate from his family affairs at a certain age and fully depend on Krishna. This makes one's life successful. Nama Aam Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Prasthaya Vichalesi Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kinamani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gaurabhai Pacharani Vishesha Sunyavari Pachacha Deshi Karani Omam Gyan Chimbaran Dasha Gananjana Shrakari Chaksurum Viditam Jain Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanshakalpatubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Veva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Vanshakalpatubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Veva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, continuing the discussion. So, to succeed in this world, just to do the simple thing of maintaining a family, or maybe even achieving any more kind of material success, anyone who is ambitious. Ambitious means you want to climb a high mountain. Yeah. It wants to go up somehow or other. So anyone who wants to do these things, even to prosper with a family, is ambitious. So here the traveler in the forest, he needs to cross over the mountains. The mountains are stony, so full of little rocks and thorns. Somehow or other he's traveling barefoot here, so his feet hurt. Not only do his feet really hurt, but he's tormented by hunger, the fire in the belly, digestion is being conducted by Agni. The word Vani, actually meaning is someone who carries, like Vani means Garuda is a body, and the carrier of Vishnu, and there's a swan who's the carrier of Brahma, and a mouse who's the carrier of Ganesh, all other carriers. But Agni is called a Vani, a carrier, because he carries his fire. So when you offer something in the fire, he carries it to the devas. So then Vani becomes a name for Agni. And because Agni is also in the fire, that's how that happens. Here Agni, the fire of digestion, means you're burning and you're hungry. And so many distresses are there from outside, the thorns and everything, even from inside, outside and inside, you're laboring hard and you simply become frustrated and angry. So Prabhupada says here in 99.9% of the population is unhappy in family life. It means practically everyone. It's very, very fortunate if one has a happy family. Despite all the attempts made to satisfy the family members, they mentioned here in the Western countries, due to dissatisfaction with family members, there's actually no family life. Of course, it says that in Kali Yuga, family life will gradually be decreased and a family will be considered a man and a woman together. Ooh, nothing more. You have to understand what a family is. In sociology, they refer to the pre-industrial family as the extended family. In India, they use the term joint family. In other words, where it's, there would be a father and a mother. They would have sons and daughters. But the sons, even growing up, would stay close by, even in the same compound, either a village or something. So there'd be wives would come from other, so they would get married, and then they would have children. And so a child who was growing up not only had grandparents right there, but also a father, mother, many uncles, many aunts, and many cousins. In India, they use the term a cousin brother. It's practically brother and cousin, practically uncle and father, interchangeable, almost the same, mother and aunt. So you had many mothers, many fathers, many, many. And this is the family. And the family, all working together in the same activity, because in an agricultural society, an agrarian society, we see that the family is the unit of economic production. They all work together in the same activity. So people who grow up in this situation, in spite of all the difficulties, there's a huge sense of security and belonging to something. So as Kali Yuga progresses, this gradually breaks down. This was predicted many long time ago. You can read in Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, this is what it says happened in Kali Yuga, that gradually family life dissolves. So now, in industrial society, it became the nuclear family. They do not live together anymore. So a family, the nuclear family was a husband, a wife, and one or two children. First of all, people stopped having children. The one effect of industrial society used to be that the purpose of family life was to have children, and people had lots of children all the time. And people still from third world countries, they have lots of children. And we think that's very low class. However, that's not responsible. But you have to understand that when you have an agrarian economy, the family is the unit of production. Children are an asset because a child becomes part of the economic production. At 5 years old, they start to do work. They carry buckets. They're six, they could milk the cows and do so many things. Everybody's engaged in the economic activity of the family. And so you need children. If you don't have children, it's a disaster. And so everybody wants to have lots of children, and they did have lots of children. The children are also, the whole family is living together because of the children and this joint family situation. The parents, when they become old, they're taken care of. They don't need social services. They don't need old age pensions because that's the family, all those things. But what happens in an industrial economy is that this gradually breaks down. People move to the cities. Work becomes work in factories. Of course, nowadays the factory production has become the method of farm life too. Farms used to be family farms, but they're disappearing everywhere. Instead, big agribusinesses run farms just like factories. Factory farming. So that's what's happened. This industrialization of agriculture is actually fairly recent. Maybe after the 1940s, it really started in a big way. So anyway, the characteristic of this industrial economy is that people have to start migrating to different places to work. They work in factories, and the whole family bond begins to dissolve. And children ultimately are no longer an asset, but actually, economically speaking, a liability. In other words, you have a child. It costs a lot of money to raise them. The estimate in the United States to raise a child to the age of 18, we're not talking about higher education, is about $300,000. Very big expense. And then what happens when the child is, you spend all this money, what's the return on your investment? Will they go off somewhere else? You hardly see them. Maybe you get a card on your birthday or something. It's gone. Everybody's scattered everywhere. Yeah. So what happens is children stop having children. People now have to say, can we afford to have a child? One child is even expensive. Two child is extravagant. Three child is irresponsible. The consequence for the West is that suddenly in the Western countries the population is decreasing. People are not reproducing enough to replace themselves. And then that's when everybody has to bring in workers from third world countries. Because third world means they're not finished industrializing yet. And so the people are still having children, reproducing with pre-industrial enthusiasm. So there's lots of people there. As soon as they become industrialized or westernized, also the same thing will happen. Then I don't know what we're going to do. Nobody will be having children anymore. It looks like a formula for the end of the human race. But what people are working on is having factories that make babies. Artificial wombs and so on, and advanced reproductive technologies. It's already, there is this novel by Aldous Huxley, and
in the 30s, I think, called Brave New World. Some other future where everybody comes out of a factory. And there are different castes according to how they come out of the factory. Live on drugs and so on. They have to take this drug called Soma, which keeps everybody happy. As it looks like you saw the future. Well, anyway, family life becomes more and more difficult because the society really doesn't really support it. The whole social makeup of industrial society. There are many cases of divorce. That's almost the standard. Sociologists say that the dominant style is they call it serial monogamy, married to one person at a time, but one after another. That's almost a normal now. And you so many cases, and children have to go back and forth between, you know, one week with one parent, another week with another parent, and you have families that you have children from previous wives and previous husbands, and sometimes they're from the next husband back, and the next wife back. It's like very strange. So the people is no longer a close, warm unit anymore like that. It says, out of the satisfaction that children leave the protection of their parents. Yeah, the children, for the most place, they do not learn how to live in society. They do not become socialized, as they say, from older people. They learn from their people their own age. From their friends. Because the other thing is, of course, is that an artifact of industrial society is both parents are required to work. Nobody can maintain a family without both parents working. And so there's nobody at home. The children go off to school and they come home and nobody is there. And so they're all by themselves with the television set. And unfortunately with each other's. They already don't have the protection of the family, their parents. In many cases they're really on their own at a very young age, except officially. They live here. I know people like this. They hardly know where their children are spending the night. Oh, there's some other friend. They're spending the night at their friend's house. And somebody finally finds out there's no adults there. There's 8 teenage kids, boys and girls together spending the night in the house, and there's no grown-ups at all. What's going on? You don't want to know. So it's becoming like this. So he says, especially in this age of Kali, family life is being reduced. Everyone is becoming increasingly self-centered. In other words, it's very interesting to talk to Indian people who grew up in India in a standard way. Of course, India is so getting so quickly like everybody else in the West. But people who grew up in this extended family, the joint family, they don't think of themselves as individuals in the same way that Western people do. Almost the unit of false ego is the family. And they really sacrifice everything for the family and for but now the unit of self-interest is like just me. And if a man brings home his paycheck and and supports his wife and family is like considered extraordinarily selfless person. It used to be just what was expected, but now is extraordinarily selfless person. So people are already self-centered, but it's seen breaking down that it becomes more and more narrow, very narrow in self-interest, and everyone very selfish. So when the family, when there's no cooperation in the family, it's a battleground. Everybody's fighting with each other all the time. The children have this attitude, how much money can I get from my parents while doing the least amount of work? Let me get the money and go out. So they're always fighting, right? Unfortunately. Even if one has sufficient money to maintain the family, that's already difficult. It's already very difficult. You have to have almost no children, and even then, the situation is such that no one is happy in family life. It just becomes a place of stress and difficulty. And the other big family bill is everyone is seeing a psychologist or psychiatrist or a counselor, the children, the parents, everybody. Another bill. Yeah. So the point of emphasizing this distress of family life is to show that, here it says, one should retire from family life in middle age. And this is the, one could take advantage of this, of the Vanaprastha ashram. Because the interesting thing about the traditional Vedic system, anyway, is that although family life was such a powerful institution and so strong, but at the same time, it was only really supposed to be 1/4 of life. In other words, a boy is up until the age of 25, brahmachari is actually living at the house of the teacher, the spiritual master, is celibate and is studying. At the age of 25, gets married. This is sort of schematic. You assume you live 100 years, but so that then, from 25 to 50, is family life. In other words, you get married at 25, you have children and everything. By the time you're 50, the oldest children are ready to take over. You hand it over to them now. And the husband and wife go away. They leave their village to the forest, we call Vanaprastha. They take shelter of the or live in the forest. Vana means, the actual meaning of vana in Sanskrit is places where the land is not cultivated. Forest, jungle, even deserts of vana, any other uncultivated land. The Vanaprasthas were living in a forest, and then it meant you lived now on what you could just gather, roots, berries, nuts, and maybe a little garden or something, but nothing, no elaborate grains or things. And the Vanaprasthas traditionally, because they didn't have sown cloth, there's a certain kind of tree bark that you could stitch together with plant fiber and where this tree bark cloth became very soft, you could wash it. And so they lived in tree bark and so on. So there were sages like that in the forest, like that. And then they They had special duties. The brahmanas, while they were in their family life, performed sacrifice. But in the forest, when there was not so much facility for all these very elaborate sacrifices, they would do things by meditation. And they had special rules and regulations that they followed, and so on. So that's at the age of 50. This Vanaprastha would begin like this, and then finally the man would take sannyas, 75, for the last 25 years of life. This is the way it's divided up like this. But Vanaprastha also means not just going to the forest, but going to places of pilgrimage. That's the other way. Husband and wife and travel to the various places of pilgrimage. The Prabhupada here quotes Prahlad Maharaj's statement in the seventh canto to the question by Hiranyakashipu, who was a big demon, of course. And one day he takes Prahlad on his lap and says, tell me, what is the best that you've learned from your teachers? Prahlad was going to a school run by demon teachers. What were their names? Martha? Yeah. So going to school, we could learn materialistic subjects. So what if we do that? What do you learn in school today? So he asked him, what did you learn? What was the best thing you learned? Sabi, he said, the best thing. What do you consider the best of everything you've learned? And Prahlad replied, the best thing I've learned is that any person who's accepted the temporary body and temporary household of life as simply full of anxiety because he calls them asatgraha, who's taken hold of what is unreal or temporary and has fallen into an andhakupa, a blind well. In other words, a well that's become the water's all gone, so it's abandoned, and then it just sits there in the field, and sometimes it's covered over with vines and everything. It's a danger. There's an andhakupa, an abandoned well. It's called a blind well, because you can't see it and you fall into it if you're not careful. Track. So he says, no, she's talking, really, he's talking about his father. you're like this. And then he says, one should, vanam gata yat harim asayeta. And therefore, what I've learned is that, in other words, that material life at home like this is simply suffering and a blind well, and that what one should do is leave and go to the forest and where one takes shelter of the Supreme Lord. One should go to the forest. Which is understood by acharyas that forest means the forest called Vrindavan. Where everybody is engaged in Krishna consciousness, there take shelter. That's why Prabhupada says in the purport here, after he quotes this verse, one must go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Govinda. That will make one happy. And then he says, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is therefore constructing Krishna Balaram Temple in Prabhupada Lokas. Before it was under construction, to invite its members as well as outsiders to come and live peacefully in the spiritual atmosphere. It is not necessarily that one has to live in such an austere way. The main thing is that one becomes free from all kinds of material encumbrances. And in this way, pursue spiritual life. Prabhupada says, if family life is going to be miserable and broken apart anyway, instead of having to go through it by force, do it voluntarily, direct one's attention more or less to Krishna consciousness. And he also quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, which describes the future, the Kali Yuga in the future, that things are not progressing, but getting worse and worse and worse. I'll read some of this. So this is the future, the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Shukadeva Goswami said, then religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, tolerance, mercy, duration of life, physical strength and memory will all diminish day by day because of the powerful influence of the age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, wealth alone will be considered the sign of a man's good birth, proper behavior, and fine qualities. If he has money, all those things are there in high class. And law and justice will be applied only on the basis of one's power. Men and women will live together merely because of superficial attraction. Yeah. And success in business will depend on deceit, cheating. Womanliness and manliness will be judged according to one's expertise in sex. And a man will be known as a Brahmin just by his wearing a thread. A person's spiritual position will be ascertained or determined merely according to external symbols. And on that same basis, people will change from one spiritual order to the next. A person's propriety, that is, his morality, will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living. Actually, in America now, one thing is really, it's almost a, is a big, powerful Christian movement in which they preach the gospel of prosperity. That God wants you to be rich. There are these churches, mega churches, Texas and places like that. Huge followings. And the pastor, of course, to demonstrate by his own behavior, he has many Rolls Royces and Cadillacs and he says that God doesn't want you to be poor. God wants you to enjoy, and God wants you to be rich. And if one is worshiping God correctly, he will shower his blessings upon you. Consequently, the thing he doesn't say, but which everybody with the deduction would be, if somebody is poor, God doesn't like them, they're not pleasing to God. So poverty becomes sin, and wealth becomes virtue. This is really, really, really going on. So it says here, a person's propriety will be seriously questioned if he does not earn a good living. And one who is very clever at juggling words will be considered a learned scholar. So this is, we see these things happening. A person will be judged unholy if he does not have money. Well, here we go. Even clearer. And hypocrisy will be accepted as virtue. That is simply the mere appearance. Marriage will be arranged simply by verbal agreement. And a person will think he's fit to appear in public if he has merely taken a bath, and otherwise no tea lock or anything like that. Of course, they don't take baths either, so. A sacred place will be taken to consist of no more than a reservoir of water located at a distance. And beauty will be thought to depend on one's hairstyle. Filling the belly will become the goal of life. And one who is audacious, that is to say, very bold, without any scruples, will be accepted as truthful. This is the idea that if you tell a lie with enough conviction, the big lie, everyone will believe it. This is a technique that works very well. He who can maintain a family will be regarded as an expert man. Just that. Used to be pretty easy to do for everybody, but now. And the principles of religion will be observed only for the sake of reputation. As the earth thus becomes crowded with a corrupt population, whoever among any of the social classes shows himself to be the strongest will gain political power. Well, it sounds familiar. Losing their wives and properties to such greedy and merciless rulers who will behave no better than ordinary thieves, the citizens will flee to the mountains and the forests. This is the Prabhupada quote, so you're in the forest now because you can't. We see this in many countries, of course, all the time. The what they call the warlords are in charge, and people are, they just have to run away. Harassed by famine, no food, and excessive taxes, people will resort to eating leaves, roots, flesh, wild honey, fruit, flowers, and seeds. Struck by drought, they will be completely ruined. The citizens will suffer greatly from cold, wind, heat, rain, and snow. They will be further tormented by quarrels, hunger, thirst, disease, and severe anxiety. The maximum duration of life for human beings in Kali Yuga will become 50 years. Want to hear more? This is pessimism, isn't it? Okay, well, the last two. By the time the age of Kali ends, the bodies of all creatures will be greatly reduced in size. This is now a few 100,000 years from now. And the religious principles of followers of Varnashram will be ruined. The path of Vedas will be completely forgotten in human society, and so-called religion will be mostly atheistic. The kings will be mostly thieves. The occupation of men will be stealing, lying, and needless violence. And all the social classes will be reduced to the lowest level. Cows will be like goats. spiritual hermitages will be no different from mundane houses, and family ties will extend no further than the immediate bonds of marriage. It already seems to get worse than that. Most plants and herbs will be tiny, and all trees will appear like dwarf shami trees. Clouds will be full of lightning, homes will be devoid of piety, and all human beings will have become like asses. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear on the earth, acting with the power of pure spiritual goodness. He will rescue eternal religion. Oh, this is our future, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the good news is that even though Kali Yuga has begun, you can see so many things are happening. And although the doctrine is that we are making progress all the time, it's really a devolution, going backwards in many ways. It says in Bhagavatam at the beginning that anyone who takes shelter of the process of hearing and chanting by Krishna, process instituted later by Mahaprabhu, taking shelter of the holy name, cultivating the holy name, that will nullify all the effects of Kali Yuga. The sages had gathered at Namishivani Forest, particularly to perform a sacrifice to benefit the people in general in Kali Yuga. It had begun, and they were concerned about it, what can be done. And so, they said that after the departure of Krishna, what has come to be the shelter of religious principles is Srimad Bhagavatam, by which people will get light from it. And if one follows the Bhagavad principles, one can be immune or protected from the effects of Kali. So that is why we are practicing these things, Krishna consciousness. But one should, the material world is not a good place in the best of circumstances, because even when it's really nice, there's always going to be birth, death, old age, and disease. And now it's not even in good shape. So these are even ordinary things, the simple things of life. But everybody used to take for granted clean water, fresh vegetables and fruit, you know. If you really want to drink decent water, you have to, you know, buy this bottled stuff. In the airport, I got a bottle of water in America, and it was imported from Fiji, you know, this island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. You have to buy the water all the way from Fiji. And other people are very devoted to this water that comes deep in the earth underneath the volcanoes, this like, that's really old, you know. Water, nothing, no impurities have touched it because it comes from so, it was pumped up so deeply out of these. Anyway, so the water, you know, clean air, this is hard to get. And if you really want to have fruits and vegetables healthy for you and edible, you have to go to some special store and pay five times as much as you can get in an ordinary grocery store. These are things that we should actually just be, for everybody, should be just taken for granted. Going away. Okay, any questions, comments?
I have a question.
according to the system of Varnashrama, how you live. I was just giving me a thought that if you live like this, you don't have any other patience with your parents. Because, till 5 years you will be your parents, then you at Gurukul, but at the age of 25, you can't your parents live as a Vanaprastha. Mm. If you follow the standard system, then you don't have any association with your parents. How is that reconciled, if you follow this section?
First of all, I think that being in Gurukul didn't mean traditionally that you had no association with your parents, because the teacher was, everybody was nearby. Everything's in walking distance, practically. This is another thing Prabhupada talks about. Prahlad Maharaj describes material life as maya sukha, illusory happiness. And Prabhupada just translates it as the illusory advancement of civilization. And he points out that so our advancement is we have automobiles, and roads, and the result is all your friends live 200 kilometers away. Everybody used to be within walking distance. So now to do anything, same thing, but now you have to maintain a car and worry about where the oil's going to come from, and the oil tankers and the road. It's illusory. So in the Vedic culture, everybody's pretty close together. So it wasn't that you were entirely separated from your family. More like a boarding school, but it was close by. This age of 25 is for brahminical children. Different ages for different varnas. How long the education needed to last was different. So brahminical families are the most detached. That's a fact. Okay. Yeah, you had another question? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, so in a similar direction, because I heard that only the brahmanas, they take sannyas and kshatriyas, they only say vanaprastha.
Yeah, that's correct.
And so, actually, if you are really honest with ourselves, then that is also said in Kali Yuga, mostly like shootless. So maybe we also sometimes like look at persons, they are like a little mixed up, Some people they are brahminical, but at the same time they are employed with someone and working as an employee. So there is like mixed up brahman and so. So everyone will take sannyas?
Well, not necessarily everyone will take sannyas, but the Prabhupada's idea was that one should, at the end of one's life, basically the second half of one's life, 50 or so, understand the children are grown. You have children, but you stop at a certain point. You don't keep on. Ajamil is a little scandalous because he's 88 years old, but he has like a 5-year-old child. What's he doing? So naturally, as one gets older, the motive passion will naturally decrease. And instead of trying to fight it with drugs and all kinds of artificial means, one should go with the flow and become more renounced. You see, the point is that the natural effects of time is that as one grows older, you have to renounce. Your body gets old, becomes more and more difficult to enjoy in certain ways, and so that's the natural renunciation comes naturally. Now, people who are simply their whole happiness lies in sense gratification, this is a disaster. And that's when they declare war on time, that you're not going to win that battle. This is stupid. So why don't you just go with the flow in this case and accept the renunciation and in some way or another spend one's time. Of course, what Prabhupada expected of Vaishnavas is actual Vaishnavas by practicing Krishna consciousness, that everyone, the modes of passion, the modes of ignorance would decrease, and one would become situated in the modes of goodness. One might still have to learn one's occupation according to what training one received, but that didn't matter. That one gradually would come to the platform of the mode of goodness and not stop there, but become transcendental. So, for Vaishnava, I think Prabhupada's expectation was that the majority of people would do like this, would take sannyas. But even so, whatever it may be, however you do it, the vanaprastha should be there for everyone. And sannyas for a lot of people. Simply because if you're a devotee, you'll see these things. And if your goal of life, if we're really concerned, if we understand that the really big event is the time of death, that's my final examination, I will be preparing for it. And since I will have to renounce anything, everything, anyway, it's not that when we renounce, we're doing something we don't have to do in a nasty way. So, as Prabhupada said in this book, we're better to do these things voluntarily than be forced. But I don't want to give up my house. I don't want to give up my family. What happens at the time of death? Bye-bye house, bye-bye family. It goes away anyway. It's not that you have a choice. But if one does it voluntarily and concentrates one's attention on Krishna consciousness, then it actually becomes a very useful process. That's what we should do as devotees. Okay? We accept it voluntarily. What's going to happen anyway?
The impression is that you were speaking about the integration in the society, through the society, is the best means to spread the religion, social network.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we speak in the occupation of the doctor we should not take, or, you know, go to work.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try to be self-sufficient. And so how to reconcile all these
things? Well, one sees in many cases that success in spiritual life is doing contradictory things. It really is. And so you can reconcile these by the fact that not everybody will do the same thing at the same time. That even if I have to join and be part of this society, I will also do it knowing full well that I'm not part of it, that I'm detached. As far as self-sufficiency in the sense of not depending on society, Prabhupada emphasized that very much because my conclusion is that Prabhupada understood that industrial society is an extreme overdevelopment of the mode of passion. It will result in misery, and it does not have that long to go. I think it's already collapsing. But to us, you know, if something takes 200 years to collapse, to us it's in slow motion, but historically that's very fast. So something that takes four lifetimes to happen, we may not notice it until it's... But I think it's already in its last stages and everything. One more last jump ahead with information technology, and then it will. But you see, I mean, I don't know how, if they're really going to be able to deal with global warming. This is one of the effects of an industrial economy, pumping all this gases into the air. They're really going to satisfy it. And of course, already there's going to be two groups of people If you really want one to solve the problem, you basically, in many ways, you deindustrialize. But people will look for a technological fix. And people will want to put out in outer space gigantic, blinds that you put over your windows, you know, the kind that go like this, you can block the sunlight. They're talking about this, So, any material solution to this problem is going to just create further problems. But anyway, I think, so the time will come, I'm certain, that we will have to return in many respects to an agrarian economy. It doesn't mean we go back to the Middle Ages, that we don't have technology, but somehow it will become focused on food and energy will be locally produced, and again the family will become the unit of production. Then many, many things that people should be prepared for this. I think what Prabhupada wanted us to do was at least be ready when it comes, that we'll know what to do. I think that's the future. Yeah?
It seems to be, according to prediction of Kali Yuga, that things would get only worse. Why should they get better?
Oh, because predictions in other scriptures are understood to say that because of Lord Chaitanya's movement, there'll be about 10,000 years sunshine. And then after that, after 10,000 years, supposedly, Prabhupada recommends that everyone plan not to spend a long time in this material world in Kali Yuga. So there will be a kind of shelter. I mean, I think Kali Yuga will still go on, but there'll be some place you can take shelter. And it'll be like a kind of small Satyuga, in effect, for people.
So the practical is how we should try to act, our family, people who have family hustle, should they try to make their independent living or integrate into the society and try to spread it through social media? What should be the...
It depends on the family and what they can do and what's available.
Don't be...
Some people do. We haven't, Prabhupada has not rejected, on the one hand, but he says we are not against the material advancement of society. We are only against it insofar as it is damaging to human spiritual development. So something has to happen which, on the one hand, we want to return to a kind of a simpler, more natural way of life and make some centers which are like that. But at the same time, because we are not turning away from society and the material world, we want to also be part of it. But we have to transform it. And those things that are favorable to Krishna consciousness have to be accepted, and those things that are unfavorable have to be rejected. How to do this, I think you can only see by working. And by to try this, if that doesn't work, try this. It's trial and error, and gradually it will come about. But it may look like we're doing contradictory things. I don't think so. The Vedas are full of contradictory teachings that look contradictory anyway. I mean, you could take Prabhupada's writing, householder life is bad, householder life is good. You can put them in two columns and you say, what's going on here? But if you understand the purpose of what he's saying, then it becomes clear that everything harmonizes. We're on different steps going up. So if I'm in a certain place, family life becomes very good because it's really much better than just running around having sex without any care. And you know, it's very good that people have one spouse and be responsible for children. It's great. Right, so it's fantastic. People should do this. But then if you're in there and that's all and you think that's the end, then, you know, this household life now becomes bad if you're attached to it too much and it doesn't. So what is good can become the enemy of what is better, and what is better can become the enemy of what is best. So it depends on the different platforms. We have to understand this. It's called wisdom. Srila Prabhupada, he said.